Hi there, beautiful people. Welcome to another fantastic episode of the Fontaka Junction Real Talk. And I am absolutely ecstatic to have you join us on another episode, even as we're winding down to the end of the year 2023. Guys, in the studio, I have with me my usual steadies and my right-hand people. The big and strong-chested one, Reshe Reshe.
Yeah, what's popping? What's going on? Yeah, I mean, how you doing now?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. Yeah. Can't lie. I mean, we're getting there into the business end of the year, and getting ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, I think that this is one of those times that you're most excited.
It's always my year. And you know what I like to do? I like to close for the year. I like to close for the year. So just FYI, the junction might be getting closed in about a few weeks. Good to have you on the show, bro. Yeah. Also, we've got she needs no introduction. She's like the queen of the show right now. She's the one riding the waves, you know. And all my listeners are like looking forward to listening to Anna, because she's like, you guys, we need to hear that beautiful voice, you know. That's what gives us joy when we tune in. And I like her. What's good?
Hi. Okay, I like the introduction. Okay.
Of course you would.
Hi, everyone.
I do a good job, don't I? How are you guys doing?
We're good.
And what's it like? I mean, I don't know. I feel like December is always like the period where typically people are just in a good mood. Typically, in the past, the things that used to make you vex normally from January to November, when it comes to December, for some reason, you could just forgive people unnecessarily. like person, if it vexes you in December, make you just smile, because you just feel like it's about to be Christmas. Do you guys feel that way this year?
partly. It's not as ecstatic as last year, but yeah, I'm glad it's the end of the year. I think I've been looking forward since January, and we're finally in December. And unfortunately, it's going to go swiftly. And then it's going to be January again. Bruv. And then I'm going to be broke again.
Bruv.
But I'm happy in December.
But it's probably worth it. Like, you gotta blow that cash in December. Like, yo. With the kind of chicken promos we went through this year, you just have to just let loose.
the only person that is not in a good mood, our guy now, Elon Musk, is not in a good mood.
What happened to Elon Musk?
Yeah, they are taking money from his. They are taking money from X, you know. I mean, pulling. Yeah, I mean, some guys, they call them Media Matters. They are the ones that are in charge of all these adverts. I mean, all these big corporation putting adverts on, you know, I mean, different platforms and all that. So they are really fighting Elon Musk, you know. And I think, I mean, you heard, what's it called? The FU that was heard all over the world. That was said in the course of the week.
The FU.
Yeah, I mean, he told them. Didn't you know about the story?
No, I didn't.
Elon Musk was like, I mean, someone wants to blackmail me with money.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it was like.
What was that about?
It was said. It was a matter of factly. It was like, FU to any one of them. Like, go tell them, you know. I know. I mean, I think.
So is it that they are beefing on the fact that Elon Musk is making a lot of ad revenue on Twitter, or what's the issue, or?
They
want to streamline the kind of ads that are being run on the platform.
No,
what exactly
beefing,
is
they are beefing Elon Musk because they says he allows so much to be said on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
And that was the reason why Elon Musk bought Twitter in the first place, you know, because there was a lot of censoring going on, you know, censorship going on and all and everything. But, I mean, you can imagine they removed their sitting president, you know, because they said they don't like what he said, you know.
You mean Trump?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, and you don't forget that they also removed Buhari at some point.
Oh, you mean Twitter? Like they locked their accounts?
They were just blocking everybody, whoever they don't agree with. And then, you know, when the mob comes after them, the mob will say, block him. That was what they did to Buhari now. Block him. He was telling us that before the new Buhari was blocked.
Yeah.
And they showed Twitter Pro Max. When they said they shouldn't, everybody was not using VPN. Have you forgotten that period?
But funny enough, I don't think Twitter ever met the conditions for the reinstatement of the account.
They don't always meet all those conditions.
The government was like, you have to open a fiscal location in Nigeria, you have to register data. I don't think Twitter did all that shit.
It's okay.
All the best to Elon Musk. He's a multi-billionaire. He's a billionaire in hundreds, so he'll be fine.
Yeah.
Let's let's jump right into it without any further ado. A couple of things I want to talk about today. And the first one is something short of a miracle. Some people see it as a miracle. A 70-year-old Ugandan woman has given birth to twins. Safina Namunkwaya, she's a Ugandan, has been able to successfully deliver two children, twins at the same time, following an IVF treatment. And I mean, the media are treating this as a miracle. She's Africa's oldest woman, the oldest person to have to give birth to a child in Africa at 70. And I think this is great, right? This is amazing. And I think just looking at it gives hope to a lot of people who are maybe having challenges with bringing out children, childbearing, and all that. It shows that contrary to popular belief, there is really no age limit per se. That's on one side. On the other side, scientists and the medical practitioners, wouldn't they rather say that this is a dangerous endeavor to ask a 70-year-old woman or to allow a woman that old to carry a child in the womb? From what we know, she had the baby and her womb carried it for about 31 weeks before the delivery was done. In your view, though, and I understand that, you know, it's easier said than done. When, as a woman, you're trying to have a child and it's not forthcoming, people expect that once you reach 40, 45, you pack it up and move on, right? But women want to be able to have and carry their own children. However, at what point do you say you have to draw the line? Is 70 years old something that you would recommend for your mom or your sibling or your friend to try out an IVF and to still try to, you know, have a child? Or would you typically say, you know, if you know someone that's close to you, they've reached a certain age, you advise them to, you know, wrap it up, maybe adopt, you know, a baby and find love or, you know, give love some other way? And I'd like to get a view on this one, because I mean, you're the woman here, so maybe you can relate better.
Congratulations to her. It was a miracle. It wasn't anything short of a miracle, because it's also a scientific wonder. And also kudos to the doctors, you know, for assisting to make it possible. The thing is, yeah, I think I saw some quotes from the lady, and Safina was more like, I think she has always heard this thing where people tell her, you know, she'd be childless, stuff like that. I feel like it's a combination of, you know, the way you put it now, you said, okay, why would you want to go for something high risk and all of that? Funny enough, a lot of people, even at the age of 40, they have high risk pregnancies. At the age of 30, they have high risk pregnancies. But they weigh their cons, and the truth is, if you want to be a mother, aside the societal pressures that come in, you know, a lot of times you marry someone and then they're telling you, oh, why aren't you giving birth? You're a barren woman. Yeah. You get all that
womb watchers.
Outside pressure and insults. So aside all of that, sometimes a lot of people really want to have their own child, you know. And based on that, most of the times, even at the age of 40, you're already nearing the high-risk pregnancy areas, especially depending on what battles, maybe medical battles you're facing. There are so many things that women's body go through aside the whole, the menopause thing, you know, the natural sequence of events, you know. Most of the time, I don't know if you're aware, as years go by, obviously fertility drops, right? Yeah. So a lot of the time you see a lot of women are like, oh, my time is running, you know. And this kind of gives, should I say, some hope, right? Because I feel nowadays what women are doing, instead of having to rush themselves into marriage or having to rush themselves to get pregnant for somebody that they are not really interested in just mm-hmm. because they want to have their own child. They have other options like, okay, freezing your eggs, you know, trying IVF later in the day, you know, in case of when in the future you decide to have that option. And to see someone up to 70, even if you're like 50, you know that, oh, I could go through this IVF process, and luckily for by God's grace, even if it's going to be high risk or it may not be anyway, but whatever the situation is, it's something that is very possible. So I feel like this also gives hope to women to see someone at 7. And then the funny thing is, I think I also read somewhere that she actually gave birth 2 years ago. Sorry, 3 years ago, 2020. Yeah. So she had given birth to a child prior to this, and giving birth to a child now, again, it's like, okay, I don't think there is any...
Did she lose the first child?
I don't think so. I just felt like maybe she wanted another one or something.
Wow.
And I know the funny thing about it is her partner actually left her after this particular...
I was going to come back to that. That's messed up.
I think she was saying that, you know, sometimes when you hear, sometimes when you say, oh, you're pregnant, we are pregnant, we have a child, you're going to have a child soon, and then you hear, oh, the child is not one but two. So a lot of times men run away like, that's too much responsibility. That was mm-hmm. based on our own comments. Twins, a boy and a girl.
Oh, really? Interesting.
No, but the thing about that too is that, and let's try to be practical here, right? Because you just gave me an information that I didn't have, which is in 2020, she had a child, right? Meaning she's not particularly barren anymore, had a child. Mm. 2 years later or 3 years later, you are still trying for another child, and you have a partner who's probably struggling financially, right, to meet ends meet. Now, twins are on the way. And my man's like, hell no. I'm not the one that... My man's probably over 70. Am I not going to start thinking of raising money to buy diapers and put a child through life at 70-something years old? So when you paint that picture, it's kind of hard to paint the guy as a bad guy for maybe running away, because... You already have one child, right? So what's the motivation for you to try and get another one? And from what we are hearing, the baby was essentially conceived through a mixture of donor eggs and a partner's sperm. So it's not the woman's
eggs. What was the partner doing? Was the partner not consenting when they were going to have the donation?
I feel like what happened was he wanted one. So when he saw two, he ran away. That's what I'm saying.
You know, let's not say he wanted one. Maybe he was able to tolerate one. You know, the way our women are able to force us into doing what they want. So maybe my man's like, okay, you shall want one extra one. Let's do one extra one. And so he finds out that it's two.
But last I checked, it's not like men that like having offspring. I need my own baby. So we can't even say for sure who really 100% wanted it. Or maybe during the years that they were tormenting, if the lady was being tormented by external factors that were berating her because she didn't give birth, the guy did not mention or even aid in the... Because he also wanted a child. He's like, then when the lady realizes that she has the opportunity, she decides to grab it.
The information we have is that her and this guy, our current partner, have been together since 1996.
Mm.
So 1996?
Yeah, they've been together since 1996.
I think...
In 2020, they had a baby. Mm-hmm. She had a baby. I'm assuming it's for this
1996.
Mm-hmm. So even 2020...
How many years
baby,
that?
That's about 23 years-ish.
And she most likely was getting the pressure from family and friends. Yeah,
cool. So a baby has come in 2020.
27. Mm.
So I'm trying to think as a man, right? If I've already got like a baby, I'm close to my 70s. 2 years later, why would I... If as a man, I wanted to have an extra baby, it being twins would not be the reason why I would turn away, right?
If I wanted an extra baby running away.
So I'm thinking that second issue could have been she pushing for it.
What about if the first baby wasn't the gender the guy wanted? can we also think
so
that
now I just threw an assumption into the
no I'm just saying obviously there are different if you don't know what about I mean if you don't know much about the story there are different ways you can spin it first. So that's what I'm saying that what if the child that was giving birth wasn't a boy say for instance because obviously he's an African community
boy he said he's boy you know? Not the girl now
no that's the second
no yeah the that's twins the second, one boy the one twins. Girl right now
I'm talking about twins, the first pregnancy years ago
I think for me what I'm excited about is the medical breakthrough that the old woman can have a child and I think that's what I'm excited about really.
Yeah same here
but the man running away somebody needs to ask him why did he run
away get inside of the story. I'm not going to
why do men run away from responsibility of raising a child I mean it's not new is it
the man is
old.
The child at 70.
If the woman is 70,
it's not new.
If the woman is 70, man is most the man is maybe like 75 thereabout.
Yeah. Mm. Minimum 70. Let's assume they're same
minimum,
age.
Yeah.
Mm. Why the hell do I want to have a child at 70?
As if
it's time to wrap it up.
Most of these grads won't you a lot of the times we are making it seem like as if most of the time when a family, let's say two young couples got married, they have their child and everything. And you say, oh, grandma, come around and stay. Most of the time, it's grandma that is doing the raising of the child. Mm. And then you have the break so that you can go out and go and, you know, work or something like that. So it's your mom that is actually helping you raising the child. So what makes it so, crazy, like, to understand that probably she would most likely even still be able to raise that child?
Nah, because the mom is doing that shit temporary. Like, mom's just helping out for the first few years. Mom might not probably be alive. Grandmom might not be alive.
No, but that's the child thing. That's the thing. That's actually the funny thing about life, really. When people have reasons to be around, to stay, somewhere, somehow, they find a way to kind of stick around, really. So
she can somehow find a way to stay for like 95.
Yeah, I'm thinking that
that's actually
the woman can actually
but let's go to something that you said earlier, Anna, when you talked about, you know, you said something about freezing of eggs. That's a new technology that seems to be coming up now in present time. Because I saw something on the news some days ago, Big Brother Nigeria's candidate Uriel, he says she's frozen our eggs. That sounded weird to me when I first heard it, because I was like, how do you freeze your eggs? what does that entail? So apparently it's like for women who are of childbearing age who are not really looking to having children now, they can sort of take out their eggs and have it frozen for sort of to preserve those eggs. So forever, whenever they're ready, they can go back and then do the old IVF thing with those eggs and, you know, trying to conceive a baby. I think that's a pretty neat, you know, medical advancement, really.
It's
also common though. Is it really expensive?
No, I feel like it's maybe in this part of the world it's not as common, but it's been around for a little
for a while. It's more of guessing the facility, you know. And the thing is, okay, the way it is, okay, the science behind it, like obviously for a lady, for instance, is it a fetus of a baby girl? You have like up to like 4 million eggs at the point of you being a fetus. By the time you're being born, you have like 1 to 2 million left. Then till you get to puberty, between the period of like you being a baby and puberty, you're losing at least like 10,000 eggs per month, right? And by that time when you hit puberty, you're probably having like maybe 300 to 400 eggs. And by the time you get,
are you sure?
Yes,
300 eggs at puberty.
300 to 500 eggs max.
Left.
So yeah, so by the time you get to like 20, 30 or something like that, it drastically drops. You're talking about 100,000 or 120,000. By the time you're eating
100,000 eggs.
Yeah, 100,000 or 120. That's at puberty. Do you know what puberty is?
300,000.
Yes, 300,000 to 500,000. At that time,
you're young now.
No, puberty, yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're still young. No, not puberty and menopause. Don't mix it together, please.
Okay, menopause is what I'm talking about.
So puberty is like when you're like 12, 13, 14, when you're seeing your...
Would that be when it's the most in number?
No, that's the way it doesn't grow. What you're doing is you're losing. So in the space between where you're born and when you're getting to puberty, you're losing at least like 10,000. By the time you hit puberty to maybe your childbearing age at 20 to 30, you are losing like at least 1,000 per month. So that's a drastic drop.
You
with
have 300
every
eggs as a property in property.
Because you've lost a lot between for the past 12 to 13 years. And you're losing at least like 10,000 per month.
How old are you at puberty?
Like 12, 13, 14, depending on how early or late your puberty is.
So how will a lady have 300 eggs at puberty and have 100,000 when she's child?
Because she's still losing. Aren't we going to still see our...
Truth be coming down, instead of going up.
What you didn't hear what I said. 300,000 to 500,000 at puberty.
I'm trying to say 300,000 or 300.
You didn't hear me then.
Okay, so 300,000 eggs.
Yes,
first,
to 500,000. Okay.
Right, cool.
Then from there to like you're like your childbearing, you're like having 100,000 to 70,000. By the time you're eating 40, you most likely have like 70,000 or 40. I can't remember. Probably 18,000 or 20,000 around 40. So okay. Between 40 and a lot of ladies go through menopause around 45 to 55, which is where you have maybe like less than 1,000 eggs left. So at that point in time, you can't. So many people, the situation is worse for some because you have different medical issues that could occur. We have the normal when you realize a lot of ladies are going through so many things that. We've not been our bodies haven't actually gone through the necessary scientific research that was supposed to. Let's praise the patriarchy for that. So you're seeing things like PCOS, you're seeing a lot of things like
patriarchy enter this one now.
I mean, you have to look at the fact that so many drugs were not tested on women to see the effect. You have to see so many research wasn't done and to realize that a large portion of ladies have PCOS and there's little research on it. You know, so many things that plagues women, especially in the productive age, it's thrown under the rug. We are just starting to see people realizing or doing the most basic research. You know, research that you're supposed to do with women's blood that was done with water instead. So many of those things, that's just besides the point. But what I'm just trying to say is that so many factors play into the fertility, I mean, the number of eggs, most likely the fertility of a lady. So as at that point in time, menopause, most likely you don't have much, even if you have a certain amount of eggs, the quality of them could have also decreased or declined.
Yeah.
So before that, you most likely, I think the best age for you to like go and freeze it, maybe like 20, 30, 40 max or something. So have them stored somewhere. And I don't think it's a cheap process. But I don't know how it works in Nigeria. Maybe you have to pay a certain amount of
like
money, like a rental or something. Yeah. Do you get? Because, yeah. I mean, I don't know what they use to freeze it. Is it liquid nitrogen or something? But I don't think it comes in cheap. So I feel like if you're able to, I mean, if you have that facility very easily available, I feel a lot
can
of
actually
options will be, I mean, ladies will have the option, you know, to, you know, wait their time. And sometimes some people just even, I don't even think we're all crazed up in, you know, having children. I think that's, shall I say that's, campaign has dropped a bit, so
some
that really still want to,
now that
you can change your
women,
mind later.
The average age of childbearing is shifting up and up every every few years.
I think
it's now about 30 for women in Africa, where it used to be 28 in 2020. So more and more women are delaying childbirth really these days.
I think the medical guys, there is a way they can give people the autonomy to freeze their eggs on their own. They will just remove it for them and package it for them. But you know what they do? They will make money off of it now. So they would rather keep it for you. I'm just saying.
How do you want to keep it for
yourself?
You know the kind of complex process that goes into storing.
No, but that's
preserving
the thing
things, stuff
that's
like
the thing
that.
Now. All you just
people
need to do is freeze it. What it means is freeze it.
My freezing is not his normal freezer.
That's what I'm saying now. What I'm trying to say is that it can actually be made cheap. Yeah, where people can do it themselves. But they stand the chance of making more money off of it than giving people the autonomy to do that. That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
I've always known them.
This is specialist.
Makes sense to have like a facility that just has it
for everybody.
And not the one that you're in Nigeria.
I'll put my white egg inside fridge.
It's actually possible. The only thing is they'll create what's it called? Maybe like a smaller gadget.
In the
some smaller gadget that you can use for that purpose. I'm just saying.
If you think about it, if it was liquid nitrogen, they used to freeze it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Won't you run out of it and have to go and buy more? Or how does that work too?
We don't know enough about it.
Before I start saying some things, I don't know. But the truth about it is a good option to have, really. And it reduces the pressure on ladies
if you have the money. If you have the money. That's the thing. If you have the money.
And if you don't have the money, see, it's not by force to give birth, please, if you don't want.
So we are giving a shout out. Congratulations to Miss Anyways, Safina Namukwaya from Uganda on your new bouncing bundles of joy. And shout out to the Women's Hospital International Facility Center. They're the ones actually taking care of the bill for this and also providing post-medical care to Safina while she, you know, gets back on her feet. So we're gonna move on onto the next one. This one this one busts my head. Where are the Empire fans in the building? Empire was such a show back in the day. Lucius Lyon and Cookie Lyon and Akeem and all these guys. Like, you know, they rocked our world, to be honest, for about 1 or 2 years. One of the major cast of the Empire series, Jussie Smollett. What was his character in that? Jussie, I can't remember anymore. Smollett. It was a gay guy, right?
Yeah.
Who could sing really well. Yeah. Jussie Smollett. Hard times for Jussie Smollett, for reals. He's just been sentenced he's just been convicted following the hate crime felony charge that he's been battling with since 2019. For those that don't know the backstory, Jussie Smollett had cried foul in 2019, saying that he was walking down an alleyway, you know, on a cold windy night in New York City. Was it New York? I think so. New York City. And he was mobbed by
Chicago.
Was it Chicago?
It's okay. Chicago.
Anyways, New York, Chicago, whatever. Was in the US. And he was mobbed by two black men. And they beat the shit out of him because he was gay. And they didn't like the fact that he was gay. It very quickly whipped up social sentiments and everyone was like, justice was
with his sandwich intact. With his sandwich intact in his hands.
He was on the sandwich.
Yeah, he had a sandwich.
Yeah, he was beaten up. And everyone went agog, justice for Smollett. And, you know,
justice for Juicy.
In a very short time, you know, we started hearing different stories saying, bruv, those guys that came to beat him up was actually a planned walk. Juicy had actually hired those guys to beat himself up so that it could look like it was a hate crime. And, you know, the justice system didn't take that kindly. Like, they're like, dude, what the hell are you doing?
He told one of the greatest fantasy story ever told.
I think he took the acting thing too seriously. Like, this is real life, bro. Right. So there's been an open trial on that, right, for a while. Mm. And just now, he's been sentenced. And he's going to go to jail. Guys, what do you think about this one? Like, how crazy do you have to be to actually make up your own beating? And like, what was he even thinking? Like, how did he think that was going to end up? If we bought the scam, what was his end goal?
I mean, the funny thing about it is the fact that it wasn't just even the homophobia part. It was also the racist part. The idea that he's black and gay.
Ah, double whammy.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that was 2019 initially. And the truth about it is so easy to rile up a community, you know, to go out there and fight for justice on your behalf.
Yeah.
And it's so sad to see that a lot of people actually go through these experiences truthfully, whether racism or homophobia. And it just made it very difficult for people to, like, you know, believe that, you know, you have to probe whoever you see, because most of the time it's a lot of people. Okay, first things first, we understand that, okay, yeah, you went through racism, I mean, you experienced racism, you experienced homophobia. When you go out there to tell people the story, some people are already skeptical initially, but now you giving an excuse and you being someone who is like a celebrity, right, you just made it worse. Yeah. Or you gave even the racist and homophobic guys an excuse to say, ah, these people are always lying. You see, these are oaks again. Most of the time, you know, all this news you're hearing, it's a lie. And the truth is, these things do happen. And the fact that he did something like that is really disheartening. And it's sad. It's really sad.
Well, he's going to chill off in he's going to cool off in prison for a while. Mm. And I think if because I mean at the time, don't forget that it was Trump that was in office, you know. So there was also a way that he tried to rope Trump in, that it was his people that came to beat him up. It was two white dudes, you know, that came to beat him up, and they told him, like, as they were hitting him, they were like, this is MAGA country, you know, and stuff like that, you know. So what he tried to do was very bad, really. And I think the DA in Chicago, that the lawyer that, I mean, the judge that was standing, as an arbiter of the case, was also biased because he was a black guy and all, and everybody saw through the sham.
Was that the first?
The first go round. Everybody saw through the sham, and even the police department, you know, it was, I mean, the whole process was run by one black, I mean, sheriff, you know, maybe like, I mean, their boss and all that. And the guy was like, the moment Juicy Smollett started to talk, but like things were not just, they were not just adding up at all.
Yeah, the story
you
was
had
story.
Sandwich in your hands, you know, at 2 a.m. in Chicago. Like that was what they said. The funny part was when he said he wanted to go and buy sandwich at 2 a.m. in the midnight. He said all of them were just looking at themselves like, this thing doesn't add up at all. This guy is telling us fables, you know. But that he came to lodge that complaint, they said he just had to do the normal protocol, you know, and follow through and try to see what he was saying. You know, the more they followed through, the more they discovered it was a lie. The more light they discovered, you know, and then, you know, and then the Oshundairo brothers.
Do you think is maybe there's an element of narcissism or schizophrenia, or what's the word you use when somebody is clearly delusional?
I think he just wanted.
I saw this defense, and even when the court order was made, he was still defending and saying,
I'm not suicidal.
Lie. Yeah, he was saying, I didn't suicidal. Lie. I respect your judgment.
I'm not suicidal.
I didn't lie. I couldn't have done. And then all the evidence was clearly showing
everything
that, bro,
was showing
you,
like,
you lied.
This guy is, who is he for? Everybody, all the who's of who's, you know. I was watching TNT, NBA, TNT. It was Charles Barkley, Kenny Smith, Shaquille O'Neal, and what's the guy's name? The anchor, Annie Johnson. And they were just like, man, this guy
was a bad job.
This guy lies too
much. A bad job.
Yeah.
And I think even initially, if we even take a step back, in 2019, I think first things first, he was accused of filing a false report, right? And that was when they gave him, I think, community service to do. Then after that, in 2020, that is when I think those guys, because a lot of times they wanted to know who were their assailants and everything like that. And those ones were the ones that now spoke up and said, oh, this guy hired us and paid us. You know, at that point, they had to rearrest him. And then he was now convicted for a 30-month probation and a 150-days jail time. So it's very funny to me because, okay, the thing is, let's look at it from the society. First things first, being a black person is already tough as it is.
Yeah.
And being a black man is already tougher as it is. Now, being another marginalized community also, being gay again is now double. Like, there is no way, if such a thing had happened, I believe he would have gotten so much sympathy. He would have gotten so much collaborations from, I don't know, whoever is community. He would have gotten maybe plays for him to depict, you know, a black man. Do you understand? Like, he would have gotten a public sympathy that would have most likely propelled his career, you know? And he already had a good stepping stone, like the Empire. Yeah. So I feel like the whole sham he created, I felt like it also was a publicity.
That was where I was driving.
To rile up.
Well, that's the whole idea. What you just said. That's the whole idea. He was trying to prop up his profile, you know, as a movie guy and all. And you know, the funny thing is that what people were now saying is that in this present time, stuff like that is not that blatant. It doesn't happen like that in your face. Like,
yeah,
if anybody's
yeah.
going to do that, they will try all they can to cover themselves up, you know, to kind of, you know, and also, I mean, it wasn't just, I mean, I don't also forget that, I mean, there was one that he did, he sent himself, what's it called? He posted a letter to himself, you know, and it was hate crime as well, you know.
Like a nasty letter.
Yeah, he sent it to the studio. I know. So he's been doing it, but he just got caught.
Man,
like just he had an objective, and
yeah,
unfortunately, he wasn't able to implement it.
He got caught, and
it was selfish. In general, it was selfish, and I wouldn't even say it's delusional. He had a set plan, and unfortunately, it backfired.
I think he did. I think he did similar thing that guy did that we talked about last week, the guy that killed himself. But Jussie Smollett just
he didn't go that far.
Yeah, Jussie Smollett did his own reverse, you know. And
yeah, I mean, Jussie is gonna have a hard time in jail, man. Especially when you're trying to push narrative that you're gay. It's gonna be a tough one in penitentiary because those guys they like them booties. So.
Okay, we do not support violence. It's gonna be sad especially I don't know how to place it, but
all the best, my brother.
That's actually
we gotta go pay the bills, but don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We got many more trending gists to chop it up on. Catch you on the other side.
Faceless. Hey there, fearless youth. Get ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery and empowerment.
Trust me, this isn't just an event. It's a game changer.
Here, our team, Faithless, dives deep into the question that defines us all. Who am I?
Now, let me tell you about the lineup.
Brace yourself for the wisdom bomb dropping from Pastor Obi,
the electrifying vibes from Purity,
soulful melodies of Nyombinga, the motivational genius Israel Uko, the spirit-lifting words of Pastor Josh, and the beats that will keep you moving by DJ Concept.
We'll be gathering at First Square Gospel Church, Phase 2, Site, Sukubu, Abuja, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
So mark your calendars, December 16th, 2023. Be there because we want you to be part of this incredible movement.
And we are back. Thank you for sticking with us. If you are listening to the Fonseca Junction episode for the first time, perhaps you stumbled upon this podcast from your Spotify homepage, or someone sent you a link and you were just catching up on this just for the first time and you like what you're hearing, I encourage you, enjoying it, to subscribe or follow the podcast. We are streaming across multiple platforms. All over the place. We're on Spotify, we're on Google, we're on Amazon, we're on Apple Podcasts, you name it. We're broadcasting everywhere. So click on the subscribe button and follow us so you can get notifications every time we drop a new episode. And we do drop them new episodes every week. Yes, now back to the matter. I woke up this morning and I saw something on my phone. A notification that annoyed me, pissed me off real bad, because I was just struggling, my scratching my head, and thinking, man, I'm about to spend a lot of money right now to buy fuel for my generator because we don't have lights, and my expenses on petrol this period is mad because, you know, someone's bright idea is to remove subsidy, someone's bright idea is to remove the fuel subsidy, put a lot of us in bad position.
Remove fuel subsidy remove the
exchange rate.
Exchange rate.
Yeah. Somebody brought that idea
for the exchange.
Somebody will claim that it should be in the Guinness Book of Records because of his very fast reforms. Put in a very tight position.
Yeah.
And it was without anger I read the news that Nigeria has sent some delegates to UAE, Dubai, for the COP 28 climate conference. Well, for those who don't know what the COP28 is, it's like some climate change conference they do every year where all the countries come together and discuss about the things they need to do to drive a more sustainable practices that will help to preserve the environment.
Yeah, wake me up when you finish talking about it.
Yeah, so Nigeria is one of the countries that, you know, typically send delegates to different countries wherever they host it to have this agreement, and you know they can discuss about they can make pledges to reducing emissions, you know, and pledges to investing in renewable projects that help, you know, cleaner energy generation. So I mean, it's not a bad thing if Nigeria represents, you know, we have good representation in these programs, and you know we can, you know, have agreements to achieving net zero in the near future. The problem that I have is when I found out the number of people, delegates, that would be representing Nigeria in this conference, 1,411 people were marked to travel to UAE from Nigeria for that project. Now, first, that 1,400 people were spread across different, you know, different people from different spheres of life, right? So from the government, you had private sector as well, you know, just everyone that, you know, is in a sphere of influence that could be involved the environment. However, what caused the outrage was a lot of the people, at least 40-50% of these people, are going to be funded through taxpayers' money for this project. And when I compared similar countries that have a kind of economic situation and the delegates that they sent forward, I was seeing that some African countries sent 400 people, you know, average of 400, which was fair. China sent 1,400 people for the event. And I'm asking myself, since when did China and Nigeria become mates that we can afford to send 1,400 delegates to a climate conference? The only person that's probably going to be speaking or making any tangible contribution to that event is the president and one or two ministers. So why do we need 1,400 people on taxpayers' money to go for this program when the president has plans to borrow some extra trillions to fund the budget? I mean, it is the same issue of wastage that we've been complaining about regarding this government. Mind you, this is a government that has like 2 million special assistants and senior special assistants. I don't know what they're assisting, and special advisors, I don't know what they're advising. The cost of governance continues to balloon every day, and then we have the president coming out and telling us to endure. At what point are we going to wake up and realize that this is peak clowning? We're all fooling ourselves if you really think this administration is willing to do the necessary things to move us from this current shithole that we find ourselves into something more sustainable.
I'm going to face Reno Mokri. That's the person that I'm going to face, because this is one that I was talking about. I read his tweets. I replied in the course of the week one of those is nonsense tweets that he tweets, who was talking about how Nigerians are so quick to judge, they are so quick to do this, you know, they don't have patience when the government is working, stuff like that, you know, and it's kind of senseless, really, you know. And then I think it was a car thing that actually kind of triggers me, really. You know, when you guys are telling everybody to kind of, you know, be more frugal, you know, with their spending, you know, and to be patient and to be do all that. They said all the things in the books of how Nigerians should be patient and endure and do all that, you know. And then guess what? They bought 160 million naira, you know, jeep for themselves. You know, as I was coming, I think it was in the course of the week, I was looking at one of the barracks, one of the police barracks, and all. It was an eyesore. And I'm like, are people living here, you know, as barracks, you know? And then the legislators, people that are elected there to give policies and to try and implement policies that will make the people's life better, they are buying themselves 160 million naira jeep, you know? 160 million naira will do a lot in that what's it called, barracks that I saw that in the course of the week and all. And I'm like, these guys are just removed from reality. They are just removed from, you know, and mind you, we said it again, the Labour Party people, they are there too. Those Labour Party too, they are there, you know. And so for me, I think it's just ridiculous. And if, I mean, anybody that is in their right mind, what everybody should be doing now is to be calling this government to order, calling them to equity and calling them to, I mean, what's it called? Live, you know, by what they preach, because they are not living by what they preach. And that guy that is a Tinubu spokesman, that guy, that fair tall guy.
Injury Agele.
Is he, what is his name? That I saw him walking like Tolo Tolo.
Yeah,
I mean, in front of Tinubu, and when I mean that arise, I was I don't know, maybe it doubles as security or PA. I don't even understand, you know. And he is supposed to, because I mean, I saw his speech when they announced him as the spokesperson for the president and all. I saw his speech. He was speaking a lot of funé, was speaking a lot of slangs and all and everything. And I'm like, okay, let's see what he can do. It's not about speaking funé. It's about telling your president that, Mr. President, what we are doing does not look good on us. You know, we need to serve these people. We need to do right with these people. By these people. What we are doing is actually doesn't really make sense, Mr. President. If you have to resign, resign. But that's a long shot. You can't resign. You know, I know. I know that's not going to happen. You won't resign. Because that was what this person said. What was his name? Ruben Abati. When he was serving as the... special advisor
to Jonathan.
Media matters to Jonathan. You know what they said? They were like, Mr. Abati, now wow, you Patito's gang, you know, all the things that you're always telling us or motivating us, you know, what's going on? Like, I mean, tell your man now. I said, my friend, you cannot be eating and be talking at the same time. So that's what they say. Now Mr. Ruben is back to arise, criticizing and doing all the normal.
They always talk. Sound sensible after the left government.
Yeah, that's why I'm afraid. I'm actually afraid for your guy.
Who's that?
Who is your guy?
Piro.
No.
Who's my guy?
Who's your guy now? Your guy in Arise TV now.
Bruv, Rufai. I don't have any guy. Please stop pushing narratives to me. I don't have any guy.
Rufai, that's why I'm kind of careful. I'm
fine with
him. I'm weary of him. Maybe when he gets office text,
he will change.
Who is that guy that was a big critic of the government? I think they said he got a job with one governor in the east. Now it's one PA to the yeah. The guy has kept quiet.
Bruv.
That's what always happens, really. You know. So yeah. For me,
like you said, 100%. I don't trust these niggas. The current minister for communication and information, blah 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 blah, Boston Tijani, the co-founder of CC Hub in Yaba.
Yeah.
Before his appointment, he was one of the biggest critics of APC and government. He was very quick at calling out perceived injustice, in quote and unquote. Yeah, they gave him what's it called? They gave him my appointment. Now my man, they post Opus Odima before the election. He say, as our candidate goes for the elections, we support him and we look forward to. And people said, at what point did he become our candidate? Are you now an APC member? You know, because last thing we remembered, you are coming as a technocrat, you know, to do your job. Right, not play party politics. Now the same boss now, you need to see how he interacts with people on social media. He's very vile, very, very, and he gives them woto woto. Woto woto, the guy they respond with serious.
That's what always happens now.
My nigga, this ain't you.
But you know, I mean, there was one, I mean, I can never forget, you know, one during Obasanjo's, during Obasanjo's time, Charlie Boy went for interview sessions, went to do like media, you know, roundup of, you know, the Aso Rock and all that. There was one thing that he said as he was checking out of Aso Rock. He said, if you are living here, you forget what is happening in Nigeria. That's what he said, you know. If you are among these guys, he said, you forget what's happening in Nigeria. And that's what always happens, really. There is so much impunity when it comes to, you know, accountability, you know, to the people in that space, that it's impossible for a rational person to thrive in that space. Because when you have like 95 people doing the same thing. And you want to now come and say you are the pious man. You are the one that wants to.
You're
going to look like the bad person.
You got some.
You're going to look like the bad person, really. You know. So
and that's the problem. To be fair, the Labour Party guys. That's probably what they're dealing with.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like
exactly.
They can't go in there and start forming Christine dudes. Like
exactly. They fought a Luther until they got into the house. When they got into the house, man, I mean, it was like, man. So this is what these guys are enjoying and stuff like that.
Yeah. Really. And I look like you're something.
Yeah. So okay, just back to the topic. The thing is, I'm actually surprised that we are surprised. Really.
Because
most of the time for almost every event that we have going abroad, you always ask yourself, what is this particular person doing here? Why are you even in this event? Like, what makes your presence important? Because if you're going on, I don't even know how. We had more persons, more than the USA now. Like, is it like times two?
No,
the amount of people.
We went there
to
believe it or not, Toke Makinwa is part of the people that went for COP
28. Oh, wow.
She did the list. And I'm like, what the hell is Toke Makinwa doing?
Who is this?
You know what's so funny about
it? Toke Makinwa?
I don't know now.
I don't know how to explain it. She's a socialite. That's all I can tell you.
But you know what's so funny about
That's what I can tell you. She's a socialite.
You know what's so funny about it is, I think they said they are going there to ask for a loan, right? Isn't it one of the things like
funding is one of the
funding
things
is one
that
of
will,
the
that
things
discussed, yes.
Do we look like a country that needs funding?
We don't.
We went to a full-on entourage.
We look very
let's
serious.
Not even look at I'm very if they should come back to tell us the actual expense that went into moving those persons from Nigeria to the venue and back and their welfare and
I
whatnot.
Think they said it's $700 per day. I think they said it's $700 per day for one person.
Is that for accommodation and all that?
Yeah.
How long is the conference?
I don't know.
Probably a few days.
Because they're just going to come back with that budget to actual now and start quoting billions in dollars for something that was very
trivial.
You know
what I heard? Someone said that the whole thing they did was, they just it's like racketing, to be honest. They've done it that way because, you know, there's the current Dubai visa ban thing going on, right? So they just tried to fix some people so they can use this opportunity to get a Dubai visa as well. Yeah, and that probably makes sense because I'll be honest with you, I don't see what Toke Makinwa is going to go and do in COP 28. So what's probably happened is the people that have access to these sort of things have plugged in their guys to say, oh, we can use this opportunity to get maybe it's a diplomatic visa
on taxpayers' money.
Yeah, I mean that's the racketing we're talking about, right?
It's just crazy.
I'm struggling to see the reforms that Tinubu is talking about. Really, he's doing a lot of talking. I'm seeing a lot of talking, but I'm not seeing a lot of action.
But you know the funny thing is with these frivolous expenses, it's not even far fetched. Look at how much they are proposing to build a new residence for the vice president.
$15 billion.
I mean, if they could justify that, I we are just spending. That's all we are doing.
We're
just spending.
Really,
and it is crazy.
To the supporters of APC and Tinubu, those ones who continuously find an excuse or something to say to defend and support the government, this is a good time to pause, chill, and observe, right? Don't be in a hurry to try to defend what we're saying because we're already crossing the borderline where a lot of these things cannot be defensible. This is the time for you to say, even though at the initial point, you probably had some things that made you believe Tinubu was the right thing for Nigeria at this time, put that aside and begin to look at things from a very pure, unbiased view. Now more than ever, we need to speak with one voice. Supporter or non-supporter, if there are things that we are seeing that the government is doing today that doesn't make sense, we all need to be able to speak one voice. We all need to be able to question these things. We all need to be able to hold our leaders accountable for these things. It is not for you to be trying. And there's some guy on Twitter, I don't know, I think it's Woye or something like that. That's his handle. Woye is always very quick to quickly join. In fact, he's more active than the Minister of Information. Anything that happens about APC, he will quickly come and start printing paragraph and giving information that, ah, this is what led to this. This was, you know, trying to explain the thing that has happened. And the guy, as usual, came this morning again. I was trying to explain many. And people are like, bro, this explanation is too long for story. This thing we're seeing does not make sense. Don't try and explain what does not make sense.
He's waiting for his own appointment. Yeah, we'll soon give him job.
I know there was even one thing that I actually remembered. I don't know if it was a rumor or something, or if the soon to be president then said, where he was saying something like, it's as if they already have the money. So they are not there to like spend Nigeria's money. Like, you know, like he's already well to do. But what I've seen so far is, it's not like as if you have like, you know, if someone who is very rich is the one in the helms of, you know, the presidency or something like that, and you feel like, ah, this person is not going to be spending our money. He's already well-to-do. He's not like some hungry person that hasn't tasted wealth before. But people forget that when you access wealth and power, all you just want is more
wealth.
Nobody can come in. Somebody well-to-do come in and tell me, oh, I'm satisfied already. I'm not here to, you know, gorge your resources.
You know why? You know why Nigerians are the easiest people to scam, in my opinion. It's because they just, and I'm trying to put it in a way where I don't sound condescending. We lack the ability to actually just look behind the line. Or see behind the line, really. When people have money, one thing you need to understand is they spend just as much as they make. And there's always a fear that this money will run out. Mm-hmm. So even when it seems like they have a lot, they are constantly looking to make more. So
even if they don't even even if they kept it in it, they stashed it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, they still want to build
the element
that
of greed. It's human nature. Babel. Nobody ever gets enough and says
exactly,
I have enough.
Like,
they're gonna want more. So when I heard people say, "Oh, Tinubu has a lot of money already. He's going to go to presidency not because he wants to make more.
Yeah.
He wants to work." I'm like, how naive can you be, bro?
That is not a good
excuse.
They
want to. You know what it means to have
that
access.
That in short is even a red flag.
You know what it means to have access to a full national treasury.
Ooh.
Till tomorrow, they are still recovering Abacha's loot, and that was about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So let's know how much money is stole, bro. No matter how rich you think you are, once you have access to a whole full country's treasury, that is us. You are just scratching the surface.
I think
of
politicians are just criminals all over the world, really,
bro.
Yeah,
and our own is just, it's quite sad, really, because the people are really suffering. People are going through a lot, and I feel like, these guys, they are more of an overlord, you know, than leaders, you know. And the people that I'm most disappointed in are the Labour Party members.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I am completely and utterly disappointed.
Let's be truthful. You can't, as we said, it's the head is always what matters. It's not easy for people to make waves when they are still like at the what, even if they did something crazy, you know, like, oh, we are doing this reform. Do you know what they could face? You know, I don't know how many they have in comparison to the other parties. I don't think the number is significant.
Yeah, they're not
the
maybe.
So they can't make any wave. See, even if you have one community that is all, yeah, this leaders, Labour Party, they are fighting
they should
for
be making noise.
Like,
that's the least.
Oh yeah, that's true. But did you recently see Tinubu coming to the National Assembly to present budget,
and they were what the hell is
we are going to dictatorship?
Is that becoming a one party stand now,
like,
a one party state?
I was like, what do you mean? And at that point in time, I'm sure that's even a good time to be rebellious if you were from another party.
Exactly,
most
exactly,
likely you don't stand
exactly.
And just join
them
and do something where
on mandate, which
you are supposed
during
to
budget
I,
mean, session.
I think
when has it become an APC union?
I think the what's it called, the other parties in the house, they've lost every sense of vision
when they approved how much
have
for them.
Yeah, and
when you've collected the money before,
yeah,
they knew what they were doing now.
Yeah,
who
is the Senate president?
Akpabio,
the one that was sending them prayers.
God will Akpabio.
Yeah, they've sent them enough prayers to shut their mouth up. You know, I know.
That's the way
and
it works,
ridiculous.
Yeah. Once they've already paid
it's
you off,
ridiculous.
At least,
it's
I don't
ridiculous.
Know how it will be easy. Once you see, imagine even at a workplace, if you had a manager that already approved one crazy expense for you and was like, yo, and he says you can spend it, how easy would it be for you to speak against that particular person, you know, when you know you
that's
see the
mad.
Person doing something
to even
bad.
Think that,
that's mad.
To even think that the meeting that they even went for does not even have head, it doesn't have tail.
It does not have head. Just talk. They just go every year and talk.
Climate change.
And we are not how seeing to, anything.
Oh, by climate change, yeah. How did they transport themselves from Nigeria?
Don't mind
how much jet fluid fuel did
them.
They use?
Don't mind. You know the irony.
And how much air pollution was injected into the atmosphere.
Yeah, but it's sunk cost now. It's a cost that they are making now so that they can change
just,
the future.
These guys are just making money everywhere. The irony of it is, in Europe, it's been snowing like. I mean, my friend in Germany was telling me like she had never experienced snow like that. No, maybe not never. She has not experienced snow like that in like 10 to 15 years. How it's snowing in what's it called? Sweden, guess what? The guys that were going to fly to Dubai, I mean, is it Dubai or UAE? They were going to fly to Dubai for the climate change. Guess what? Snow grounded their plane.
Yeah, it was frozen.
The irony.
And also what people are saying is that initially the campaign was against global warming. Which was the earth is heating up because of CO2 emissions. So we need to reduce CO2 emissions to protect the ozone layer because the sun rays are coming in and are melting the ice caps.
They are going to get
that was the challenge. Yeah. And global warming was what the scientists were warning us about. Yeah. But now they've quietly phased out the discussion of global warming. It's now climate change, quote unquote.
So the climate cannot
change. Climate change is actually an effect of global warming, but it is more generalized. I mean, it's more,
more blanket,
climate change and sustainability.
Bro, they don't know what they're
generalization now.
These guys don't know what they're saying.
If you want to present requests for loans and everything, would it have to be tied to that particular initiative, the climate change and stuff like
generalization
that?
Now.
Nigeria, we are far away from that, man. The first things first is for them to resolve this electricity so we can reduce our combustion when in terms of generators.
Guess what? We've bought buses. So.
CNG buses.
100 buses.
Yeah, CNG.
100 buses.
Are they using renewable fuel?
It's
EV.
It's electric.
EV and CNG buses. Yeah,
but I haven't seen it.
They're around. We're working.
That's in Lagos. Is it Lagos or Federal?
No, Lagos is working.
Lagos is working. Yeah.
Some way is working. That's nice.
Some
way is working.
Yeah, show us your problem.
Yeah. I feel like it's been...
My black dirty behind.
Please though. Anyway, censorship, thank you. So the thing is, really, I feel we should just please, I'm begging our government, we should stop spending money on consumption. We should stop, because we are loaning money only to consume.
Have you seen what the new budget
no
is like?
I don't even want to. I feel like we just get unnecessary at that.
8 trillion recurrent expenditure, 9 trillion debt service.
Damn.
8 trillion capital expenses.
So we're servicing debt for
the entire project. The entire budget, like 60% or 70% of it, like 75% of it is money that I don't know what to say. On a serious note,
I want to appeal to Nigerians, really. You know, we don't have any other country to go. And
speak for yourself.
But at the end of the day,
like breeze.
At the end of the day, when the chips are down, when it comes down to it, really, not everyone has the capacity to move. Really, we don't have the majority of Nigerians don't have anywhere else to go. You know, I mean, we've seen. I mean, you think the guys that what's it called that their money was trapped during Buhari's time that were dying in the what's it called?
In the banking hall
and all those stuff. Do you think if they had options, do you think they wouldn't have checked out? You know.
Yeah.
So Nigerians, we don't really have anywhere else to go. I'm talking to the majority now, and we have to see it as our own duty. you know, to not just, what's it called, hold our elected officials accountable. We also have to look for ways, you know, of being part and parcel of the growth of this nation. You know, if it means that you are going to run for office, if it means that you are going to join a party, if it means that you are going to do something, you know, maybe impact, you know, the younger generation, do something about it, you know, so that you are going to be a part of the solution. There is a lot of, I mean, this guy posted something that I kind of like, really, you know, and then he was talking about, how different nations were able to maybe come out of problem or stay in the problem, you know. Our own illustration showed that whenever we see the problem, guess what? A lot of heads comes together. Guess what? Call out. Everybody is kind of just talking. We talk a lot. Everybody just talk, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, we are good at talking. We can analyze how a country can be better than America. You know, but when it comes down to it, when the chips are down and it comes down to implementation, nobody is well. I mean, anywhere to find. That's what I'm going to now go back to the Labour Party guys for. They were supposed to be the change in the house. They were supposed to be the one that is calling, the government to order. Guess what? They collected the jeep.
Yeah.
Shame on them. Shame on all of them.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm disappointed. 100.
I mean, if they weren't even, like, they're small, what we call, like, mini protests. They're not necessarily, like, outright. Do you understand?
Yeah, exactly.
Because if they gave them the money and they were like, oh, we're not going to collect it.
Yeah.
Nobody is saying you're shouting or anything or you're making any waves.
Yeah.
But those minor things.
Let people see that something is going.
These parties did not accept so and so. That is when you start saying that, okay, I think that these guys actually do mean business, you know?
Blow the whistle. Let's know how much is flying around.
Do you know the funny thing is that they can actually collect a lesser car, you know, and say that because of what we are going through, we cannot afford to be spending this much money. We would rather go for a car of 10 million or a car of 20 million. You know, cut it down.
You know, the best way is to actually collect the money and then in their face show how you're using it for the community. Like, oh, we are about to do, you know.
And but that card is, they're not collecting the cash now.
You are doing like as if, no, you cannot. Is it that they printed Nigerian government on top of the car? That is not something that they can, you know.
No, they can't sell it. It's official cars.
You can't get it for cash.
It's official cars. That's true.
Yeah,
then they'll have to reject it.
You tell them that we don't want, give us something lesser, and let it be known, let it be on record that is what you guys will be protesting, like you said.
Yeah.
You are protesting the house.
Things, you know? Nobody is saying you should go have with placards and start, you know, making mad.
You are shameful. You are very shameful.
The little things we do.
I mean, what's it called? Shameless people.
The little things we do, it's not just by words. I know, and even funny enough, a lot of Nigerians actually know how to speak. Even me myself, I know how to speak and say, oh yeah, this. But at the same time, when it's time for you to put in the action, will you be able to
do
that?
Because
it's just about making mouth.
Yeah, that's how this guy was speaking big English. That's what I said now. What's his name? The advisor to the president in Ghana. What's his name?
Yeah, Ajuri Ngele.
Yeah. He's speaking BB grammar.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be an alarmist, but it's not looking good. I think we probably, we'll give it a few more months, see how it goes.
Six months has gone by, I think.
We missed it on this one again. Yeah, I think we missed it on this one again. See you 2027. But from us at the junction, we want to say stay alive. If you're living in Nigeria, you're Nigerian and you don't have hope of Jackpa, I'm praying for you, seriously praying for you that you will survive the next 4 years. For those of our listeners who are listening to us around the world, wherever you are, let us know how you feel. Let us know how things are in your end. Canada, America, Australia, Europe. How's life treating you? How's your government doing? You can invite me. Or me, I will come. I don't get ashamed. If you can't stay with you for a while, depending when we realize where Tinubu, the carriers, they go. From us at the junction, we're signing out. We're going to catch you all next week. Till then, stay jiggy. My guys at the studio, Resh and Analaika. It's been a pleasure.
Bye. Yeah.